Okay, so we are. I'm not even gonna ask questions about which book of the Bible we're in because it's up here. We're gonna be talking about the book of Matthew, which is in. If you have a Bible, the book of Matthew is the very first book in the New Testament. Okay, the very first book in the New Testament, and the whole book of Matthew is basically someone writing down who Jesus was and what he did while he was here on earth. It was actually written by someone named Matthew, which is why it's named the book of Matthew. It's like his book. He wrote this down. He wrote down the things that he saw and the things that he heard and the things that he was told by other people as well. So that's why we're studying the book of Matthew, is to learn about who is Jesus. Why did he come? What was the purpose that he came for? And we started off last week, Mr. Greg, he taught a lesson that had a long list of names. If you were here last week, what was that long list of names that Mr. Greg read through in chapter 1? Ian. Okay, it was part of a family tree, right? We read a long list of names, and it was basically this person was the father of this person, who was the father of this person, who was the father of this person, who was the father of this person. It was a big list, and eventually it led all the way up to Jesus, okay? So it was basically a list of what is the family tree that Jesus is born into. Now, the interesting thing about Matthew is that that family tree goes back to King David, if you remember King David. And it also goes back to Abraham, who is someone else that we have talked about quite a bit. And we talked about last week how God made promises to Abraham about how one of his descendants would come and would be a blessing to the entire world. And then God also made some promises to David, how one of his descendants would be a king that would reign forever. Okay, so that might be a couple of hints there as to who Jesus is and what he's going to do. What is the purpose of his life? But we're not to that part yet. We are in chapter 2, and you'll kind of figure out where we are in the life of Jesus right here in the very first sentence. So I'm going to read a little bit, and then we'll kind of talk through this. So it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem." How many people have heard that? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. When do we normally talk about Jesus being born in Bethlehem? What time of year?
Christmas,
right. Christmas is when we take a time to remember Jesus coming to earth, being born, becoming human. All right? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So it's not Christmas, but you can kind of think about how amazing it's going to be when Christmas comes. So it's kind of getting you ready for it. Christmas in September. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. All right, so after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. All right, now that's a very important word, that word Messiah. So it has a special meaning. The Messiah was someone that the Jewish people were waiting for. The Messiah was someone who was going to come, who was going to become their king and was going to restore Israel to a place of great importance, and they thought the Messiah is going to make us a powerful nation once again. So they were looking forward to the Messiah. But it's interesting there, it talks about the King Herod. He wasn't very happy about hearing about some other king being born, was he? It says he was upset. Why would the king be upset when people come and say, "Hey, where's the new king?" Anybody have any ideas? Why might the king be upset about that? Okay, right. If people come along and they talk about some other king that's being born and you are the king, you kind of think, I might be getting replaced. All right, so that's what Herod's thinking when he hears this. What are you talking about, this other king is born? And so he asked the priests and the scribes, all the people that were very religious and had read all of the scrolls from the Old Testament, they knew it. And he said, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" So this is one of those places where in several hundred years before, a prophet that God had spoken to wrote down those words, and he said, that king that you're waiting for, that Messiah, that special ruler, is going to be born in Judah, and he's going to actually, specifically, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, which is a town, a small, tiny little town in Judah. So that's all the religious people, they all knew that that's where this king was supposed to be born. And that's what they tell King Herod. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." So Herod tells these important people who have traveled a long distance, he says, "When you find this king, come back and let me know where he's at, because I want to go and worship him." Do you believe that that's what Herod was really wanted to do? No, I don't think so either. Remember, he was upset that there was this other king that was born. Well, let's see what happens. But those wise men, those magi that have come, do they know what King Herod's plans are? Do they understand that King Herod is an evil person? No, they've traveled a long ways. They don't know anything about King Herod. They just know that he's the king and he's supposed to know important things. And so that's why they go to him. And if you're looking for a king, where would you go? You'd go to the king, right? Because you'd kind of think, well, maybe the king had a son and so that's the new king. But that's not what's happening here. So they travel to Bethlehem. It says, "After hearing the king, they went on their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after they came to the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented him with gold and frankincense and myrrh." That's one of the reasons that we give gifts at Christmas time, is because of the gifts that were given here by the Magi. So if you're thankful for getting gifts at Christmas, you can thank these Magi for coming and giving gifts, because that is a tradition that we've kind of taken from that, to remember the gifts that they gave. But more importantly, there was another gift that was given, and that gift is actually God's Son coming and becoming a human, leaving heaven. Remember, Mr. Greg talked about that last week. When Jesus was born, was that the first time that he existed? No. No. He's the eternal God. He has always existed. But he existed in heaven with God the Father. This is just a time where he allowed himself to leave heaven and come to earth and live as a human. That is a huge gift, isn't it? To give up being in heaven, to come and live in a world that has all the troubles that it... Do you have an easy life here? Is it easy? You guys are just kids, but you know that there's some hard things that happen, aren't there? There are some difficult things that happen in this life, in this world that we live in. And Jesus gave up heaven to come and be born and to live just like you and I here on earth. So they came and they worshiped him. They had an understanding of who this baby, at this point, he's probably about 2, maybe 18 months, 2 years old. They understand how important this child is. He's going to change the world in some way. And so they're worshiping him. They're not just coming to see some amazing person. Normally you'd think, well, we're going to go see a king because he's really smart and he can tell us all the answers to things. But they were coming to see a king who was still just a little toddler. Maybe he'd kind of just learned to walk. All right? A little bit different. Well, let's see what happens. Remember, they were supposed to go back to Herod. That's what Herod said. He said, come back and let me know where that child is when you find him. Verse 12, it says, and having been warned of God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So God gave them a dream that kind of clued them in that Herod was not going to come worship that child. Does anybody have any idea of what Herod is going to do? Yes. What do you think Herod's going to do? All right, he's going to try to kill that baby, isn't he? That young boy. Verse 13 says, now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So again, we see another miracle. An angel comes and talks to Joseph, and who is Jesus' kind of adopted father, his adopted human father. And he says, you need to leave because Herod is going to try to kill your child. That would be terrible news, wouldn't it? If somebody came and told you that's what someone is going to try to do to one of your children. So they immediately left. In verse 14 it says, so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother, and while it was still night, and left for Egypt. So immediately, as soon as he found out that news, they packed up everything that they could, and they immediately left to go to Egypt, which was quite a ways off, especially if you're walking. That's going to be a long journey. Then in verse 15 it says, he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. So this is the second place where they mention that this prophet from hundreds of years earlier had actually written down that this Messiah was going to be in Egypt at some point. Okay? And so this is, again, God kind of giving all these clues as to who is this Messiah going to be. Well, we have two right here. We have this Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, which is in Judah. Judah was one of those names in the list of the ancestors there. Okay? And then we have this one where it says, out of Egypt I called my son. So they escape. They go to Egypt. Let's see what Herod does about that. And then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged, which means really angry. Like, imagine you see somebody that's as red-faced as they can get, and they're just kind of screaming at people. That's how I imagine Herod was. He's just yelling at everyone, you know, how could I be tricked? He became enraged, and he sent and he slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined for the Magi. So here we see the evil that Herod had in his heart, right? He knew he had been tricked. He knew that the Magi had left without coming back to talk to him. And so he just sends his soldiers down and they kill every child that's under 2 years old in that whole region of that town of Bethlehem. Can you imagine how sad that would have been? Awful. So many families, you know, losing one of their children just because Herod didn't want any other king possibly to challenge him. All right, let's skip a little bit further. Verse 19 says, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel." So remember, Joseph had taken his family, had taken Mary and Jesus down to Egypt, and they didn't have the internet. They didn't have newspapers that they could go down and buy at the corner store to find out all the news of the region that was going on. And so in order for them to know kind of that it was safe to come back, God sends another angel, and this time to say, okay, that evil king Herod, he's dead, and all the people that kind of were with him and doing what he had asked in trying to kill baby Jesus, they're gone too. It's safe to go back. So what do they do? What do you think? You think Joseph, so remember Joseph the first time, when the angel comes and he says, okay, it's time to, you got to leave. You got to go to Egypt because your lives are in danger. He immediately does it. Now an angel comes and says, hey, it's safe. You can go back. What do you think? Do you think Joseph is going to be quite as quick to leave and head back up to that area where they just escaped? Well, I guess it depends on how much he trusts God, right? Does he trust that God is really the one who is protecting them? This is what it says. So Joseph got up, just like in that other verse. It says, Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. So it doesn't seem like he waited at all. He didn't kind of make sure that everything was safe. No, he believes this the angel that comes, and he gets up and they go right back to the land of Israel. But, verse 22, this is interesting. Remember, they came from Bethlehem, and that's where they were when Jesus was born. And they had been there for a couple of years. You would think, oh, maybe they'll go right back to Bethlehem, where they kind of had some family that still lived, right? But this is where he does hear some news. And he says, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. That's the end of chapter 2. So chapter 2 shows us several different ways, several different places that in the Old Testament God said, hey, I'm sending a Messiah. Here are some clues that you're going to see when that Messiah comes. The Messiah, this special child, is going to be born in Bethlehem. This special child is going to have to go down to Egypt. It doesn't say why. It just says that they'll come out of Egypt, which means you, to come out of Egypt, you have to be down in Egypt, right? You have to get there somehow. There's another one that talks about how there's going to be a great sadness in that land of Bethlehem. And it doesn't really explain what that sadness is. It just says that it's going to be because of children, that there's going to be this great weeping. We see that in these verses. And then at the very end, we see that even where Jesus was going to grow up, when he was your age, he lived in that town of Nazareth. And that was, again, something that God had said was going to happen in the Old Testament. So we see that Matthew is building a case, isn't he? He's kind of laying out all the evidence for who is this Jesus that I'm writing to you about. And this, right from the very beginning of his life, he's already checking off those boxes for things that the Messiah is going to do, or things that the Messiah, where he's going to come from. All those things. And that's, we're going to see that as we go through Matthew. We're going to see that Matthew focuses on that a lot. Things that Jesus did, that he said, places he went, that all fulfill prophecies that happened hundreds of years earlier. So I encourage you to keep coming, and you'll hear more and more of those as we go through this book of Matthew, all right? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the time that we have together, and just pray that you would, as we go through these chapters, that you would just open our hearts to listen, that we'd be able to see who Jesus really is and what he means in our lives, and ultimately how he came so that he could die on the cross to pay for our sins, and not just die, but also to prove that he is God. He rose again, and he is the one that can help us to continue to live a life that honors you. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.